Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
Hello, everybody, and our coverage of the 2021, the new for 2021, Porsche Carrera Cup North America, presented by Visit Cayman Islands, continues. VIR, our host this weekend, for two races, two of the last five races that we have this year that will decide the two championships, the three championships, of course, two in the 992 category, and for this year only, a 991 class as well. It's live in sound and vision on imsaradio.com with the rises, the falls and the pitfalls potentially that lie just off the edges of the circuit. Porsches from VIR next here on IMSA Radio.
The Porsche Carrera Cup North America on IMSA Radio.
For 2021, it's a brand new car and a slightly different format. For Porsche Carrera Cup 2021, it is Carrera Cup North America for the first time in the history of Porsche racing on this continent. Still sanctioned by IMSA and presented by Visit Cayman Islands, we have five races left of this opening season. 17 corners and 3.25 miles, and a little bit more, is the challenge that awaits our drivers. 28 cars we're expecting on the track, and the vast majority of them are the new for 2021 992 Cup cars. Action areas at turn 1, into the old oak tree turn at turns 11 and 12. Into the top of the roller coaster at turn 17, and potentially at turn 17, if you get it wrong, well, you will get some action there because you'll disappear off so far. You'll need to show your pass to get back into the circuit. It's a beautifully poised championship at the moment, and I'm delighted to say that joining me in the broadcast centre is Jeremy Shaw. A championship, Jeremy, that I have to say I wasn't sure about going to a full pro set up at the top of the championship, but it's worked exceptionally well. It's attracted new young pro drivers on a career path, and we've got three or four of them, actually more than that, but certainly three or four who are still in with a championship chance at the top of the field, and in particular Parker Thompson and the two Kelly Moss Road and Race drivers, Kai van Berlo and Sebastian Prior. It's been brilliant so far, and possibly the best is yet to come.
But I think you're absolutely right, John. Yes, Kai van Berlo, he's won five races to the three of Sebastian Prio, but Prio, as a result of having the 5 points for pole position on seven occasions prior to this weekend to the just one of Kai van Berlo, means that Sebastian Prio comes into this penultimate weekend of the season with a 44-point advantage over his teammate in the championship. Parker Thompson, he's only another dozen or so points behind in third position. It's really down to those two Kelly Moss guys. And the qualifying was held in wet conditions this morning. It looks like it's going to be dry for the race, though.
Well, let's have a look at how they will line up. Jeremy Shaw will take a deep breath before he goes through this grid of cars. Three classes of cars, the 991s and two separate classes of 992 Cup cars that are separated by the drivers. Jeremy, how will the line up for this 45-minute race?
Yeah, with 28 cars, you say the five 991 cars, the remaining 23 are all 992s. Of which 13 of them, a baker's dozen, are pro contenders. Starting at the back, then, are a couple, actually three 991 cars. Grady Willingham in car number 21, alongside Craig Conway in car number 97. On the 26th position, Joe Still in car number 8. The last of the Pro-Am 992s is Bill Smith in car number 42. Row 12, Vernon McClure in car number 12 alongside Jeff Myshak in car number 29. Thomas Collingwood in car number 69 and Steve Dunn making his debut this weekend will share row 11 in car number 16. Connor Flynn, number 95 in the 20th position alongside John Goetz in car number 57. Row 9, Tim Pappas in car number 54 alongside the 991 pole sitter for the fifth time this season is the points leader for Goldcrest Motorsports. In car number 55 is Matt Holcomb. Eighth row of the grid, Kurt Swearingen in car number 17 alongside Hutton McKenna in car number 88. Row 7, Sean McAllister in car number 2 alongside Efren Castro in number 65. He is one of the Pro-Am contenders. Next ahead of him on the grid in 12th is the points leader in Pro-Am, car number 99 for I Fly Kelly Moss, is Alan Metney. Ahead of him on the grid and all pro cars in 11th position, Dylan Murray in car number 38. Row 5, Ryan Gates in car number 11 and Maxwell Root in number 7. Row 4, TJ Fisher in car number 58 alongside Sebastian Carrazzo in car number 27. The veteran Lee Keane in car number 12 will start 6th alongside Parker Thompson in number 9. Row 2, Riley Dickinson in car number 53 and Erik Johansson from Sweden. An excellent effort in the rain for MRS GT Racing in car number 14 will start 3rd. But on the front row, Seb Priot, the championship leader, will start 2nd in car number 15. And on the pole position, the young Dutchman for Kelly Moss Rodan race car number 3 is Kai van Berlo.
So that's the how they will line up. Remember, they are teammates in terms of they both have their cars under the Kelly Moss Road and Race awning. They are racing for themselves and for a championship. Kai van Berlo then in the mostly white and green car, the number 3 on driver's right as they come to the green flag. The multicoloured, multimatic car on driver's left is Seb Priot. Waiting for the green flag. It's a beautiful start, bringing them down at a relatively slow pace. It's a long run to the first corner here at VIR. Wait for the flat sixes to burst into life. There it goes. And there they go. Green flag and a brilliant jump by Kai van Berlo, who jumps off into a substantial lead but still feels the need to defend going down into turn one as Sebastian Prior hits the inside curb early, or at least gets close to it to try and dissuade anybody from going down the inside. Not a bad start from both of the front row starters there, Jeremy, but you've got to say brilliant start from Kai van Berlo, and Sebastian Prior did well to defend his second position with the rest of the field flooding through there. Who's made the best of the starts after that?
Yeah, Riley Dickinson in third position. Yes. Erik Johansson got shuffled down a little bit, but a great start from Lee Keane in car number 12 for the 311 RS Motorsport team, making up a couple of positions on that opening corner.
Yeah, the bright red 311 car starting in sixth position, but already made up a couple of positions. His teammate, Ryan Gates, who's further back down the field, he's starting in 10th. Easy to pick out those red cars. Now, through the Oak Tree corner for the first time, side by side, here comes the number 2 car, Efren Castro, having a look down the inside of the GT Silver iFly, Alan Metney, number 99. Side-by-side action, both of those cars in the Pro-Am category. That's for the lead in Pro-Am at the top of the hill at the roller coaster. Who's the last of the late breakers? Well, it was Metney, but he didn't quite keep hold of the position there. Maybe he might have been better to back off and fight another day, but he's lost at least that little skirmish there, Jeremy, but no harm, no foul, and they continue with their battle.
Well, yeah, but that was actually Sean McAllister in car number 2.
Of course it was, yes.
That was making that position on Alan Metney. So Metney still leads in the Pro-Am, I think, over Efren Castro. And Sean McAllister, who made a relatively poor start, trying to make up for it, and hip-checked Metney out of the way. Tell you what, yesterday in the first practice session, Alan Metney, the Pro-Am driver, was a remarkable fifth fastest. Unfortunately, he slipped down a bit in the wet in qualifying, started only 12th, but he is fast in car number 99.
Yeah, looking at the wrong part of the timing screen there. My apologies. Johansson then, the 14, Keane, the 12. That's the silver and stars and stripes car and the bright red car. Those 311 RS, they have made life relatively easy for us. Very nice bright red, almost Porsche Guards red. A little bit darker than that, but not quite as dark as Carmine red as a Porsche colour. Sitting in behind them, the rest of the field flood through. I'm trying to pick up where Parker Thompson was. Was that Parker in behind Lee Keane there? I think it was. And it was indeed the Shell car, the JDX Racing number 2 car that came into contact with the iFlight 99. But goes through. So a nice move by Sean McAllister, who moves up to the outside of the top 10 and will want to go forward from there, and has already made a bit of a gap. Note the new rear aerofoil mounts at the back of these cars. The swan neck lifted straight from the Le Mans and the IMSA racing cars, owing an awful lot of their aero to what's been learned with the previous model of the Le Mans cars. But this is an all new body shell, remember, for the 992 this year. The flat six 4-litre engine remains, but everything else is new, including exactly from the road car, double wishbone front suspension. All the cars are wide body as well, of course, for the street cars and the racing cars. They look absolutely fantastic. Looks like Bill Smith's got in a little bit of trouble in the bright orange at number 42 Pro-Am car further back down the field, but he's managed to keep that pointing in the right direction. Just behind him is Vernon McClure for TPC Racing in another one of the GT Silver cars. And behind that, is that one of the MRS GT cars? I think it is. As they come through turn 5 this time around. Number 16. Yes, it is. That is the 16 car that is chasing them around. So, Jeremy. Oh, a little bit of a bonnet flap from Bill Smith there. Actually, that's not going to be a problem. Yes. Steve Dunn sitting in behind Bill Smith in that other silver car.
Steve Dunn making his debut in the championship this weekend. He did a couple of Lamborghini races a few years ago, and then made one start in the, I think it was the Rolex 24 he did as well. So he's got, not a lot of experience, but he's making his certainly debut this weekend in the second of the MRS GT cars.
So just to underline the fact that the pro drivers are rated pro because of their age and their experience. Remember, we used to have the old Masters category in the previous iteration of this before we went to Carrera Cup. That's the second class is Pro-Am, and they are all in the 992. The 991 category is a different iteration of car. A little bit of bump and grind going on, and Lee Keane getting involved there in that number 12 with Johansson, and here comes the number 9 of Parker Thompson. Parker not qualifying where he wanted to be, and he's gone through.
That was a nice move, wasn't it, from Parker Thompson there, taking full advantage of that. Yeah, really good move by him. As you say, he qualified. Is this his first time here? It's quite a few of the drivers' first time here, certainly not the case for Lee Keane, who's won here before in ALMS competition. So we'll have a look and see what happened. There's a bit of a bump on the rear there from the 12 to number 9 and in turn number 14, I think, at turn 4, but they all stay in just about the same position.
Yeah. But with the multicoloured cars there, it's like somebody playing bar billiards, isn't it, when they go out. You hope nobody goes in off and has to re-spot. They are fighting away, though. It is the truth that a few years ago we'd have been looking at a whole absolute whole field of white cars, or in this case silver cars, because they were all supplied in GT silvers. Thank goodness for aero paints and wraps and all that kind of thing. Just keep an eye on that number 53. That's Riley Dickinson, another one of the junior drivers, top three of junior drivers. Kai van Berlo, Seb Prio, Riley Dickinson. Parker Thompson's next up for the juniors, and then Sebastian Carrazzo, Maxwell Root in ninth, and Dylan Murray in 10th position. Really important championship for these guys. The opportunity for them to go to Europe. Whoever's selected as the best of them this year will go to Europe to the Porsche Junior Shootout. And on the line there, Jeremy, a chance to be a Porsche-supported junior driver. And that could make your career.
Yeah, i.e. a very big deal. for these young drivers. Tremendous opportunities await them if they can get that nod and become a factory driver. That's what all of these guys have got their sights upon, and that's why the battling has been so intense at the front of the field. Sebastian Prio, championship leader coming into this weekend, a pretty handy championship lead, but with that 5 extra points for Kai van Berlo for that pole position, that's already eaten away at that deficit a little bit. And if he can hold on to win this race for van Berlo, there's another 5 points to get. 25 points for a win, 20 for second place, 17 for third.
36 minutes still to go. This is one of, in fact, I think it is the longest, actually, of Porsche Carrera Cups around the world in terms of the length of the races. 45 minutes. It is about as far as these cars can go on a tank of racing fuel. But what it does do is sets these drivers up perfectly for what they expect to be doing in the next part of their careers, which is probably multi-class racing, racing grand touring cars, and basically going through a tank of fuel, a stint of fuel, and managing the tyre wear through that. Full of fuel at the beginning, you have to treat the Michelin tyres relatively gently and bring them up. If you charge at them, the tyres are great, but if you abuse them, of course, they won't be your friend later on in the race. And we've seen that happen, particularly here, actually, down through the years. Michelin on board this year for the first time. Another reason that the young drivers have a really good shot at that Porsche contract, because pretty much everywhere else and all the other young drivers that will be coming to the shootout will be racing on Michelin tyres around the world. And Porsche Carrera Cup North America, presented by Visit Cayman Islands, one of just 5 Porsche series across the world to have the new car. Real honour again for the North American series to be picked. It's not the first time it's had the new car. So Super Cup goes along with Formula One. Of course, they've got the new car this year, along with Porsche Carrera Cup Asia, Benelux, Germany, Deutschland, and here. Those are your 5. And the cars have been setting really good times. 147.2, Jeremy, around here for Kai van Berlo is by no means a slouch, even at this early part of the race with the car still heavy with fuel.
Yeah, very true. And last time around, actually, Seb Prio just a little bit quicker than Kai van Berlo, maybe almost 0.2 seconds, but the deficit already is 1.3 seconds between first and second. Ryan Dickinson holding on in third position. Erik Johansson in fourth there with this super train, big train of cars behind him. He's holding on ahead of Parker Thompson, who's now pulled away a little bit from Lee Keane after making that pass a couple of laps ago. But these this little gaggle of cars here fighting over fourth position, they're falling quite rapidly behind the three leaders.
Not sure what the correct collective noun for a whole group of Porsche racing cars is. Parker Thompson down at turn one, still battling then with the number 14. He's gone through there. That's a change of position. So Erik Johansson goes down to fifth, and Parker Thompson goes up one position in that distinctive red, white, grey, and very proudly carrying the maple leaf of Canada, as Parker Thompson is a proud Canadian. And now he sets off in pursuit of the two leaders. He's a couple of seconds behind at the moment. But let's see if he's got the pace in that number 9 to catch up with the leaders, the JDX racing car. Jeremy?
Yeah, we'll see now. He certainly made a couple of nice passes already there for Parker Thompson, but he's already 7 seconds behind that top three. Sebastian Prio, he set the new fastest lap of the race last time around at 147.072, so he is the fastest car on the track. That, of course, is a new lap record. The old GT3 Cup lap record around here was set in qualifying by McKay Snow, brother of Madison, who turned at 148.1. That was back in 2017. So these cars, these new 992 cars, of course, quite a bit quicker.
Quite a bit quicker. Yes, they next Porsche Sport, the GT version of the 992, already testing. We expect to see it at IMSA competition in 2022 or 2023. That's the new GT3 version of the car. Side by side across the line, Carrazzo has just gone off the track and taken off part of his front splitter. Now, one of the things that hasn't changed is that rubber front splitter end point, which just sticks underneath the car. It's an interference fit. You just push it on. It's not actually tacked on or fastened on. Oh, my goodness. That is going to be a nightmare for Carrazzo as he was battling with Ryan Gates. And that is really going to slow him down. Terminal understeer without that piece on. It's just a piece of rubber on the bottom, but we've seen, Jeremy, in the past what a difference that makes to the setup of the car. It's essential to have that piece of rubber on the front of the car.
Yeah, it really is. He's, as you say, he's fallen now behind. He's lost, two positions on that lap, three positions, I think, on that lap, because ahead of him now are Sebastian Carrazzo, you said, Ryan Gates, Sean McAllister in that Shell top-up car. He's moved ahead of Carrazzo as well, so very, very costly for the Puerto Rican in car number 27.
I cannot believe that he'll do 30 minutes at any kind of pace, Jeremy, without just burning up those two Michelin front tyres. I've seen it before in shorter races, and as I say, it's a new car, but one thing that hasn't changed is how important that piece of rubber is that is lying by the side of the circuit. It looks like a draft excluder that you'd stick onto the bottom of your garage door, and it actually kind of fits on to the front edge of the spoiler at the front end, the splitter at the front end, and you push it on. Some people use a clip at the very outside edges beside the wheel arches themselves, maybe just put a self-tapper in there, but that's not going to stop it from pulling out when you run across a bit of the grass. And that's what he did. He went a little bit wide, just ran the left-hand side of the car off the grass and onto the grass, and it's just taken that off, and he's in real trouble with that now. Meantime, at the front of the feed, Van Berlo, last time around, 147.3, 137.5 for Prior. It's nearly a full second now. Another 1.3 seconds further back is Riley Dickinson, then Parker Thompson, who's, 6.5 seconds further back from there. So, as Jeremy said, 8.5 seconds away from the lead, but he is lapping at the same pace, at least as Riley Dickinson, give or take a tenth here and there. The front three, though, pretty much equidistant down the back straight. There is on this new car a little more aero, and therefore a little more dependence on aerodynamics, which does make getting close to the car in front really important, because you will get a draft, but it also makes it difficult to follow through some of the faster corners. The new rear wing, far more adjustment than the outgoing car, so the technicians have got more to play with as well as the drivers, with more speed and quicker lap times.
Sebastian Prio, he closed into less than a second on the race leader. Now his last couple of laps, a gap pretty much equidistant between them, about 9 tenths of a second between the two Kelly Moss Road and race cars. Riley Dickinson, he's losing maybe a tenth of a second of a lap. That's all in that team hardpoint entry, running in a third position, the young Texan. And a little bit further back, there's a good battle. That is a good battle that's been going on between TJ Fisher in number 58 for Top Racing, and number 7, that's Maxwell Root, in the Moore Speed Wright Motorsports entry.
Jeremy Shaw and John Heindorf, just under half an hour of the 45 minutes to go. Keep an eye on the times. It's Seb Prior who's nicked the fastest lap, 147 flat, just hovering around that second away. TJ Fisher in the 58, the silver with the red front, and he's coming under pressure now from Maxwell Root. And off, oh, spin for Thomas Collingwood in the dark grey and green machine. And he's gone off backwards in that 69. Again, that's pulled off the front splitter. He was battling with Bill Smith as they went down to the first corner. And was there a little touch? Oh, I'm not sure, Jeremy. I think maybe Tom just got off onto the dirty stuff on the left-hand side of the corner.
I think you're absolutely right, John. I think he just tried to carry a little bit too much speed into the corner, just ran right on the edge of the racetrack there. That's the kind of the optimal line through that corner, and just carried a little bit too much speed and kind of ran out of tarmac. Has he lost the splitter on that car?
He
as
has.
Well?
As soon just as he went backwards.
Insult to injury.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the colours of that car. Dark grey into purple, depending on where you are on the car. It's one of the BGB Motorsports cars. He did his best to try and refasten it as he went back on. If he'd done that, he would have been driver of the day wherever he'd finished. But he's going to find that he's going to have a lot of understeer push there as he goes through turn five. And he's going to have to modify his mode of driving here in that BGB car. Efren Castro, by the way, has just put the fastest lap of the Pro-Am category in. And for the sake of probity, I should tell you, Matt Holcombe has the best lap in Pro-Am 991 class in the number 55 car, which he is leading at the moment. Yeah, he did try very hard, Jeremy, to get that reattached.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? But no, not quite. Sorry. He's got some work to do then for the rest of the race as Tom Collingwood. But there's no more. No, could have been a lot worse, that's for sure. The grass is still pretty wet. It was raining this morning, so yeah, you could easily slide a long, long way off road if you didn't at least do that.
I was going to say that Tom was having a decent run. It was nice to see the BGB car up there, because they turn out, like everybody in this paddock, they turn out a very, very good car. It is a feature of this championship that even though we've reset with a new car this year, no one's really found a big advantage. And it has been very close right throughout the field. And it's been great racing. And next year, I'm told from Porsche Motorsports North America, and the outgoing boss, Daniel Ambruster, whose brainchild this was and whose pressure made Vysak Porsche Motorsport fire 20-odd cars in this year. 40 cars, a new set of 40 cars next year. More action at turn one, Jeremy?
Yes, indeed. And Max Root finally trying to make that. Is he going to be able to make the move on TJ Fisher? No. Fisher fights back again and has the advantage through turns two and three there. So hangs on just about to that seventh position. But now here comes Max Root again. Super battle between these two. Just giving it, you know, each being respectful of the other, giving them just about a Porsche's car width to the edge of the racetrack.
Exactly what you need. Absolutely exactly what you need. And we've seen this, generally speaking, down through the years. And certainly this year, it has been very respectful racing. Again, it, you know, as I said, we moved from a Pro-Am series in years gone by to a full Pro series at the front of the field with charging young drivers who are setting up for a career in motorsport. And I was not concerned, but I was interested to see how it would work out. It's worked out really well. Very impressed indeed. And we're going to be talking about some of these names at the sharp end. In fact, right the way through the field, Jeremy, I think we're going to be talking about them in endurance racing paddocks and GT racing paddocks for quite some time.
Right with you on that one. There are some very, very talented drivers in this championship. And it's as you said, it just attracted a lot of very, very talented youngsters. And it's fun to watch. It's, as you say, it's going to be fun to watch them move up the racing ladder after here as well. Sebastian Prio, he already made a bit of a name for himself over here, had some success with Multimatic in the Michelin Pilot Challenge Series. And for Kai van Berlo, he's been racing all sorts of different cars around the world, but he saw this as a great opportunity. He's also studying at business administration at Miami University as well in Florida. So he's full in here on the US racing, is Kai van Berlo, our race leader. He's just extended his lead again just a little bit on his last lap or so.
Had a little incident with Joe Still in the number 8 car last time around and had to make some avoiding action. Now, Joe was flashing his right-hand indicator and to let Kai know which way he was going to stay on the track, which was very courteous, but there's no doubt that cost him a wee bit of time. That said, he still got a handy lead over Seb Prior with exactly half the race gone now, Jeremy.
Yeah, even with that kind of mystery there, it's still a couple of seconds. He's extended it to a couple of seconds, in fact, now over Seb Prior. And Riley Dickinson is closing a little bit as well. He'd fallen in car number 53, he'd fallen about a bit over a second and a half behind Prior. It's a lot less than that now as they plunge down the hill toward Hogpen on their 13th lap.
Dickinson in the Porsche Works coloured car. It's the red, black and grey with a bit of white on it, the shield design. If you look at it from above, it mirrors, actually, very clever piece of design. If you look at it from above, it mirrors the Porsche bonnet, the hood badge, in terms of its shape. That design on Riley Dickinson's number 53 team hardpoint car. Now, further back down, we wondered what would happen to the number two car, Sean McAllister. Well, he's caught Ryan Gates in the red 311 motorsport car. That's the number 11 car. And right ahead of that is the highlighter green car of Dylan Murray. You can't miss that one. And now the Porsche with the Shell top-up livery on the side. Very classic Shell livery on that car. It's one of the JDX cars, and he's right with them, Jeremy, for another couple of places, which, if he disposes of these two, will take him into the top 10 and take him into ninth position if he can get past these two.
Yeah, having started in 14th, that certainly represents good progress for the Californian Sean McAllister in that JDX Racing top up number two.
JDX, good to see them back in again this year. Staunch supporters of the Porsche Championship down through the years. Just a little bit of a rub on the left front of Sean's car there. Looks like he's had a little contact with somebody's Michelin Pilot Cup tyre. But it hasn't done any damage. And crucially, he's still got the little bit of rubber underneath the front spoiler intact. Had it. Good look around a couple of cup cars recently, and they are fairly sophisticated machines. Choice was made to put the ABS on the cars here in North America. It's the choice of each Carrera Cup as to whether to have the ABS or not, and North America have chosen to do it. The reason being, having talked to Porsche Motorsport North America, they believe that the championships that these young drivers are likely to go to next will have ABS, so GT3 will be the next logical step up into something like the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, possibly a GT4 in the Michelin Pilot Challenge, and they all run race bred ABS systems, so they have been fitted to the North American cars.
Makes certainly good sense to me, no question about it. And these cars are giving these drivers a great education. There's Ryan Gate, the second of the R11, the 311 RS cars off the road. That's going to cost him the 10th position to Sean McAllister.
Yeah, and that's one that Sean didn't have to make the move on himself there, as Ryan just made the mistake. It's a tiny mistake, just comes in. He's already losing it. Yeah, losing that a long way back, Jeremy. You could see him making those corrections. The front Michelins were moving around and just took a tiny little bit too much speed into NASCAR corner at turn at number three. And, oh, Bill's gone off. Bill Smith's gone off in the 42, and he's made contact with the Armco barrier. Now, that, I think, is coming out of Oak Tree and onto the back straight. No, it's not.
It's the exit of two, I think, isn't it?
It is the exit of two. It's my apologies. Two. Yeah. There's very few places that you can go far enough off to hit here. Well, he's lost the back end as well there, Jeremy. Onto the wet grass and hard into the barrier. Photographer should have been facing the other way. Would have got a great shot. But they build them strong in Vysac. And a bit of bent bodywork. The four-way flashes go on when there's an incident. And Bill will have to cancel that manually. Meantime, battle for second.
Yes.
Prior has got Dickinson all over him at turn four and five.
He has, and going at the entrance turn four there, Prio's car just sort of snapped sideways under as he turned into the corner. He's struggling with rear grip on that 15 car at the moment, and Riley Dickinson is all over him. He's made up that deficit of more than a second and a half. It's now just about a car length as they head up the climbing S's, and Riley Dickinson is on the charge here, and Sebastian Prio is now more than 3 seconds behind the race leader, his teammate Kai van Berlo. He's struggling to hold on to this car.
It is only 72 degrees Fahrenheit on the track, 70 degrees in the air. I do wonder if at the start of the race, maybe they didn't get the tyre warm-up correctly. There's still the vestiges of a bit of shadow around the car, so there still is a little bit of weak sunshine getting a bit of ultraviolet radiation onto the track and a bit of energy into the track to keep it warmer than the surrounding temperature, but not much more. And it is absolutely crucial with these cars being so heavy with fuel when they start that you bring those tyres up very, very carefully indeed. Now, heading across the start-finish line, Dickinson got a good run off turn 17. The Hogpen, he's flashing his lights. I don't think he's close enough to make the pass. He's not quite in the tow.
No, he's not, is he, John? But Sebastian Prio, he's even then going to have to, he's having to be defensive there. He's clearly struggling with that car at the moment. On the last lap, 0.4 of a second quicker was the race leader, Kai van Berlo. And Riley Dickinson is all over the back end of the number 15 car now, John.
I think Prio's struggling for grip. I really do.
I agree.
He's struggling in the braking area. He's struggling in the middle of the corner. And he's struggling off the corner as well. Also struggling into the pit lane comes the number 7 car. That's Maxwell Root in the blue and black number 7. And he's in for More Speed Right Motorsport, two big teams who've collaborated this year. Now, normally we don't see pit stops. That tells you something, Jeremy. I do think people are running out of grip here.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's 15 minutes to go in a race, and we're half an hour into it. That can't be, I don't think, a scheduled pit stop. What it could be, however, John, he was running in the 8th position there, struggling and unable, it would appear, to find a way past TJ Fisher. However, because the grid was set by qualifying that was in the rain, the second fastest
great
lap
point
for qualifying or the fastest lap of the race today will determine the starting positions for tomorrow's race. And with nobody is going to, you know, at the moment, everybody's laps from this race are going to determine their starting positions for tomorrow. So if he can get on a fresh set of tyres, turn a really fast lap, maybe he can work himself up the order in terms of starting positions for tomorrow.
Brilliant,
John.
Brilliant piece of strategy from Jeremy Shaw. Worked it all out there. And because he was down the field, he can take the time to do that. Put a fresh or fresher set of Michelin Racing slicks onto the car. I bet Sebastian Prio wish he could do that, but just magically have them appear on all four corners at the moment, because Riley Dickinson is right with him again. He's been staring at the blue, gold and black rear end of that 992 in the Multimatic colours from Kelly-Moss Road and Race for several laps now. He'll know exactly where all the lines of paint intersect. He'll be able to draw that one in his sleep. And now there's traffic as well, and going offline if you are struggling for grip is a real issue. Nice bit of driving. Who was that they dived past there? I'm not entirely certain. They went past so quickly.
Might have been Steve Dunn, possibly. Was it Steve Dunn? I'm not sure. I think it might have been Steve Dunn.
It was Jeff. Masharak.
Jeff Myshak, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Myshak, yeah.
Yeah. Not my house, my shack.
Yeah, thank you. That's how I'll remember it forevermore.
But look, Sebastian Prio, he's really having to be super, super defensive, isn't he? He's got his work cut out if he's going to keep Riley Dickinson behind him for another 12 and a half minutes in this race.
I mean, it would be extraordinary if he did. What I'm now going to have to start looking at is whether Parker Thompson is gaining on them. And the answer pretty short shrift. It's no, he's not. His lap times have gone out to 48 sevens as well. Meantime, Kai van Berlo's doing 47.9 last time around. He's a good second, faster than anybody else at the moment. But these guys are a couple of seconds off the pace of the leader.
Yeah, indeed. And the number 15 car is slowing up the 53 for sure. That's going to enable Kai van Berlo to extend his lead. But you're right, the point is made, well made there. Kai van Berlo is the class of the field in this race at the moment and is extending his lead. It's now over 5 seconds.
He's driving away from a quality field. He's done it a couple of times this season. Had an unfortunate issue at one of the three races at Indianapolis in the Porsche Together, the Porsche Sports Car Together Festival, when had to change an engine on the car, which then put him to the back of the grid for the next race. So it was a double whammy, but drove through the field in an extraordinary drive to gain back some valuable points for the weekend.
It was an ABS failure, I think, in the first race, wasn't it, at Indianapolis for Kai van Berlo?
Yep.
Then the engine failure, then a brilliant drive, as you say, back to third place to kind of keep himself in the championship reckoning. Today, untouchable is Kai van Berlo.
We're not seeing much of the young Dutchman because he's in elegant isolation as he is driving away from the battle for second. Guernseyman and Seb Priol in second place, small island, closer to France than it is to the UK. Second, third generation driver, actually, Seb Priol. His dad, Andy, raced at Le Mans, and now it's side by side with Dickinson going the long way around turn one. Can he get the grip and make this into turn two? Smart driving from Seb. Didn't try to out-muscle his opponent there, just kept the car in the middle of the road, exactly where Dickinson didn't want it. But there's no doubt that that is a wounded Porsche in terms of its pace. It really just doesn't want to turn, it doesn't want to stop, and it doesn't want to accelerate. Other than that, it's fine.
Other than that, it's absolutely fine. And Seb Priol is really doing a masterful job here to hold on to that position. He's putting that car exactly where it needs to be. It needs to be to keep Riley Dickinson behind. But Riley isn't going to give up yet. He's two very, very talented young drivers. Seb Priol, just 20 years of age. And behind him, in at number 53, Riley Dickinson, a year younger, just 19, from New Braunfels in Texas, just between San Antonio and Circuit Americas in Austin.
Well, if this is the future of endurance sports car and GT racing, I would say it's in good hands. We have some real talent here. Kai van Berlo, one of a rash of young Netherlands talents, Dutch talents coming through. And we know how dedicated and how good they can be when you look at the likes of Rinus VK, Max Verstappen and others. Now, let's check back further down through the field. That's not Lee Keane, is it? It's Ryan Gates back on the track in the number 11. He's muscling his way through. And the Sebastian Carrazzo, still without that front splitter, of course. He hasn't bothered to come in. And he is really struggling now. Dropped back to 12th position. He's managed that pretty well, but his lap times, he's down in the 150s. And that's a lot of that is down to the fact that he just can't get that car to turn.
Yeah, absolutely right. And there's Joe still having a bit of a moment there. But what Carrazzo is doing, he's maintaining position ahead of Efrain Castro. That's bad news for Castro, because ahead of both of them is Alan Metney, who leads the Pro-Am class. Efrain Castro is in second position, he's unable at this stage to get past Carrazzo. He needs to get past Carrazzo if he's going to track down Alan Metney for the Pro-Am lead. Metney currently in number 99 in the 11th position overall.
Spin at the where the oak tree used to be for Joe Still in the Goldcrest Motorsports car. It's the white car with the red stripes. Looks like the 911R. Quite a lot of them were turned out like that. And if you've got one of those 911Rs now, worth over $1 million, believe it or not. Extraordinary, the investment potential for those cars. I say just go out and drive them. battle for second to the top of the roller coaster. Do you know what? Whatever happens here with Sebastian Priaulx, Jeremy, he's not going to win this race. He might not even be second. But if he holds on to a podium position here, and if he does hold on to session, I've got to say this has got to be one of the best drives I've seen by Seb in a very long time. We used to see him attacking. I've not seen this side of him before. He's being absolutely fair and respectful, and he's, you know, he's doing exactly what he needs to do to hold on to that second position.
That's exactly right. And yeah, last time around, the pace was actually fairly good compared to the overall race leader. But again, he's getting defensive there going into turn one. He knows where Dickinson is faster. He knows where he needs to put that Multimatic car number 15 in order to give no opportunity for Riley Dickinson to look for a way past.
Just 6.5 minutes to go, and ahead of them is just trying to see if they're going to catch any traffic. Meanwhile, Carrazzo in trouble again with Efren Castro, who is desperate to get through, and so desperate he lunges down the inside at turn one with a super late braking manoeuvre and couldn't get it stopped at the apex. Joe still staying out of the way in the Goldcrest red and white number 8 car. It's one of the 991 cars, completely different shape of car. Slow moving car. That's Max Root. So he's just, what he's going out to do is get that fast lap that Jeremy was talking about. And to do that, he needs a bit of space on the track, I'm guessing, Jeremy.
Yeah, his best lap so far is a 47.5, which I think would probably put him about...
second row, maybe?
Fifth, I think. 47.0. Priaulx is the fastest, has set the fastest lap of this race at 47.072. Kai van Berlo also a 47.2, as is Riley Dickinson, but... Van Berlo fractionally ahead, 47.5 for Parker Thompson and
Dylan Murray.
For Max Root.
Yeah, I'm for Dylan Murray. That's 48.5. My apologies.
48.5, yeah.
Yeah.
But at the moment, Max Root is 47.558 to 47.506 for Parker Thompson.
Very tight. Very tight indeed. Parker Thompson, 7 seconds back from Riley Dickinson. 13 seconds away from the lead. Seb Priaulx, 5 seconds away from the lead. I think it's fair to say that Kai van Berlo has just eased his pace a little bit. He's got traffic to deal with as well, but there's no need for him to push. Coming up on the mystery machine car now, this battle for second position. And Castro and Carrazzo at it again. Round the outside this time by Efren Castro. Sort of gets it done, but needs to get the push off the corner and throw it up the inside at turn three. He's still there. He's trying. Late on the brakes. Should get it done here. Does get it done here. Carrazzo laying rear tyre rubber down, as well as scrubbing off the front at the same time. Had a complete drift going on there. And the rear guard action from Carrazzo ends. He drops back another position. But what that has done, it's allowed Alan Metney about a 4.5 second lead in the Pro-Am category of 992. Still leading 991, 20th position overall, Matt Holcomb in the number 55. Matt, for Goldcrest Motorsport.
Yeah, and he's about 3 seconds ahead of young Conor Flynn in the Irish Mikes race. The car number 95 is running second in 991. The gap was down to about a second a few laps ago, but Holcomb, the championship leader in 991, has extended it just a little bit once again now into turn one. That defending that inside line, Sebastian Priaulx, absolutely no way through there for Riley Dickinson.
I fancy he's going to try and have a go between three and four, because Seb really struggles to get turned in and then stay on the track. He's still taking decent spin. He did have a little nibble down there, but he wasn't quite close enough. That is one of the places I think that Riley's got half a chance. But he's going to have to be a lot closer and a lot further alongside if he's not going to get a penalty. Because it is... after making the pass, Efren Castro has gone off onto the grass in his trying to, well, he was trying to chase down Alametti for the Pro-Am 992 lead, and Carrazzo's gone back through again. He's got to start all over again. And just looked like he lost it on his own. Coming down the hill to the hog pen. So easy to get out of rhythm down from the roller coaster. Four-way flashes going again. I have no clue how the car knows that you're in trouble, but it does. Far too clever.
Yeah, and as a result of that incident there for Castro, he's now into the grips of Kurt Swearingen, yes, who's right behind him. The battle for second place now in Pro-Am. So the leader Pro-Am has gone, as long as Metley doesn't make a mistake in the final couple of minutes of this race. But the battle is on for second place with Castro in car number 65, just ahead of number 17 car of Kurt Swearingen.
Yeah, and Hutton McKenna got through as well. That's a pro car, but that's another car that's got by Efren Castro, so he will be cursing his luck there. All right, Dickinson has another look to the outside. Well, it's not pretty, but it's very good driving, and there's nothing wrong with that in my book. Second place, extra points. That's what Sebastian Priaulx is thinking about. This is a championship drive here. That's the head, that's the hat that he's wearing at the moment. I'm trying to make the best of a car that doesn't want to do what I want it to do. It's not a winning car today. It's probably, in all fairness, Jeremy, not a second place car today. So if he gets second place points, he's actually, I think he's up on the deal.
Yeah, absolutely right. And you're going to minimise the points loss to his teammate and second place in the championship, Kai Van Berlo. He has got the fastest lap of the race, though, has said Priaulx. That will guarantee him pole position and five more points for tomorrow if he can hold on to it.
Yeah, very important. Just check to see if Max Root's done any faster times. No, the 47.456 still is fast. He slowed off to a 2 minutes last time around, undoubtedly to cool down the temperatures on the tyres and give it another go. However, at the front of the field, the gap is now 6 seconds. 23 seconds still to go. This will go on for another 3.25 miles, I think. The checkered flag will not be out this time. Here comes Kai Van Berlo. He's going to go across the line with about 4 seconds to go. There he goes. The white flag is in the air. 3.27 miles of Virginia International Raceway. If he wanted to slow down a little bit and watch what was going on behind, he'd be terribly entertained, I'll tell you that, because this is last chance corral for the 53 for Riley Dickinson in the team hardpoint car behind the Multimatic supported and liveried number 15 Kelimos road and race machine. These two young chargers, again a little look down the inside at turn four. Dickinson has tried. Has he played all of his cards, Jeremy? Is there one still up his sleeve? Maybe into the second part of the oak tree. Can he drag it back and get alongside there? Or would it be at the top of the hill at the roller coaster?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's quite close enough heading up through the climbing S's here to have a lunge at the oak tree. I think he was going to make a lunge. I think you're right. I think turn four was a place.
Tries round the outside into 11. He's got to tough it out now, but he's got the grip. I think he's got better grip, but he's gone wide. Fair play to Priaulx. Priaulx didn't run him off the track there. That's very, very fair racing from both of these young lads. If I had a hat on, I would take it off and wave it in their general direction, as I would for the man at the front of the field, because Kai Van Berlo, from pole position, has not put a Michelin-tired wheel wrong. And the 45 minutes plus another minute and 48 seconds has elapsed. And after 26 laps, he will take the first of two races at VIR for the 2021 Porsche Carrera Cup North America, presented by Visit Cayman Islands. Exemplary drive. And now we wait 6 seconds and it will be Priaulx. Where? Oh, there he is. Dickinson's there. Drags past, but too late. Just for a moment there, I thought that was another car, but it will be Priaulx in second to make it a 1-2 for Kelimos Road and Race. Team Hardpoint in third. Parker Thompson will come through in fourth ahead of Eric Johansson for the MRS GT racing car, and the top six is 311 RS Motorsports Lee Key. Alan Metney has had a relatively clear run as well, once he cleared a couple of cars, and he's going to get he's just outside the top 10 actually, in 11th position, and he'll take Pro-Am in the GT Silver iFly car for iFly Kelly Moss Racing. And as far as the Pro-Am 991, Matt Holcomb's already crossed the line actually for Goldcrest Motorsport in the number 55, ahead of the Irish Mikes Racing number 95 car, in second position for Connor Flynn, the man from Jacksonville, Florida. So the mystery machine has come good again. He could give himself a Scooby snack when he pulls back in to the pit lane for Matt Holcomb. What do you say about Kai van Berlo that we haven't already said in the early part of this season, Jeremy? That was, I mean, was that as close to perfect as we've seen? He didn't have to race anybody because, frankly, he was that good.
He was a brilliant start. He was 1.3 seconds clear at the end of the first lap. The gap came down to less than a second at one stage, about seven or eight laps into the race, when Seb Priest set the fastest lap of the race. But Kai van Berlo remained unflustered, pulled away win number six on the season for Kai van Berlo. He will still trail in the championship to Sebastian Priest, who's run only three times this season. But it was an absolutely perfect drive, as you suggest. Great drive, wonderful win for Kai van Berlo, the 20-year-old from Veghel in the Netherlands.
I'll give Jeremy a moment or two to do a quick bit of arithmetic while we just confirm the unofficial results then of the first of two races at VIR for the 2021 Porsche Carrera Cup North America, presented by the Visit Cayman Islands. Kai van Berlo, 7.5 seconds at the end from Seb Prior, his Kelly Moss Road and Race teammate, and Riley Dickinson will stand on the third step of the podium. Great battle. Top four made up by Parker Thompson, all four of those Porsche North America Junior drivers. Unofficial points with Jeremy Shaw.
256 for Seb Prior. 222 for Kai van Berlo, so a 34-point margin heading into tomorrow's race. In the other championships, Alan Metney with a win will extend his championship lead, also in 991, ditto for Matt Holcomb.
Well, that has left me breathless and has once again provided great entertainment. 45 minutes that seem to go over like 45 seconds. And the good news is we'll do it all again tomorrow for race two here. And that will leave only three races left after that, all at Michelin Raceway Road, Atlanta. Jeremy Shaw was alongside me, John Hindhoff. Thanks to our hardworking crew at Trackside and in Charlotte. We'll see you for more Porsche racing from VIR tomorrow. Bye-bye.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.